What do we do when all the places of worship are closed? All around our country, all around the world, places of worship are closed at the moment. What do we do when all the places of worship are closed? Anyone who worships sport will know that their worship has been interrupted recently. Games, fixtures, matches, and events, many have been cancelled due to the coronavirus situation. You cannot see your sporting heroes in action at present, and you cannot even get together with your local team for a practice. Anyone who worships music will know that gigs and concerts and even rehearsals have been cancelled. It is not so easy to worship your pop idols at present due to the coronavirus situation. Anyone who worships food and drink in restaurants and bars will be feeling the restrictions right now, as they cannot worship their God in the way to which they are accustomed. And for those who worship luxury, who love to shop and browse in our beautiful temples to materialism and consumerism, well, they cannot mooch around the malls at the moment. They cannot swan around the showrooms right now. They have to rely on an online experience instead, where you cannot touch or feel or smell. And of course, you cannot taste a sample. I am sure that in all these situations, people are becoming creative and they are learning to adapt and worship as best they can, but it is not the same. And what about those of us who believe in Jesus? Sunday gatherings have been cancelled for us too. Small groups are not taking place in people's homes, and the youth cannot get together around someone's dining table in the flesh. But you will say, we are all making use of modern technology and we are keeping in touch and worshipping our God and encouraging each other and studying the Word of God thanks to the internet and thanks to the advances in IT. But that is not the full story. Back in the time of Jesus, when many people were worshipping their religion and their temple rather than actually worshipping the living God to whom and for whom all these structures were supposed to exist. Back in the time of Jesus, when many people were worshipping their religion and their temple, Jesus knew that the time was coming when the physical temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed, and he warned his followers that such a time was coming. You can read his actual words in Luke chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. This is what it says. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. What a blessing that Jesus brought in a new way of worshiping God, a way that is not dependent on ornate buildings nor specially consecrated worship spaces. A new way of worship that requires a specially consecrated heart and not a specially consecrated building. A heart that is open to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, rather than being dependent on a multi-million pound worship auditorium. And this is how Jesus explained it in conversation with a Samaritan woman. And you can read all about it yourself in John chapter 4, verses 5 to 26. Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews, you claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus replied, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. We hope that we will soon be able to meet again, face to face, in the school, in the community centre, in our homes, and at places like the lunch club. And when we get back up and running, I would encourage everyone to meet together with your brothers and sisters face to face, to do church face to face, and not to take such meetings for granted. The Bible encourages us to meet together, and perhaps some of us should repent for our attitude towards church over recent years. Maybe we have allowed ourselves to become lazy. Maybe we have been serving other gods. Maybe we have been worshipping other things. True worship must be worship in the heart and worship from the heart. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Let's worship our God alone, in the spirit and in truth. Let's worship God within our homes and families, in the spirit and in truth. Let's use the online resources available to us to worship and study and encourage each other in the spirit and in truth. And when the restrictions on meetings are lifted, let's joyfully meet together again, face to face, and let's worship our God together in the spirit and in truth.